Good day, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Q2 2026 Gogo Inc. earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be a question and answer session. To ask a question during this session, please press star one one on your telephone. You will then hear an automated message advising that your hand is raised. To withdraw your question, please press star one one again. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Amy Green. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning. Welcome to Gogo's second quarter 2026 earnings conference call. On the call today to discuss our results are Gogo's CEO, Chris Moore, and CFO, Zach Cotner. During this call, Zach and Chris may make forward-looking statements regarding future events and the future performance of the company. Participants are cautioned to consider the risk factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those in forward-looking statements on this call. Those risk factors are described in the earnings release filed this morning and in a more detailed note under risk factors filed in the company's annual report on 10-K and 10-Q and other documents that the company has filed with the SEC. In addition, please note that the date of this call is August 6th, 2026. Any forward-looking statements made today are based on assumptions as of this date, and the company undertakes no obligation to update these statements as a result of more information or future events. During this call, Chris and Zach will present both GAAP and non-GAAP financial measures. A reconciliation and explanation of adjustments and other considerations of the company's non-GAAP measures to the most comparable GAAP measures is available in the earnings release. The call is being webcast and available at ir.gogoair.com. The earnings release, infographic, and associated investor presentation are also available on the website. After management comments, Chris and Zach will host a Q&A session with the financial community only. I will now turn the call over to Chris.
Thank you, and good morning. This quarter, we continue to execute on our transformation from a domestic provider of air-to-ground connectivity into a global provider of high-speed broadband to the unpenetrated business and military government aviation markets. We are pleased with the strong progress and growing momentum across our next-generation technology portfolio, as well as the record-breaking performance of our military and government business this quarter. Consistent with the prior earnings calls, I will focus on the continued progress made across our compelling new product portfolio. These new products include Gogo Galileo with two models, HDX and FDX, both of which provide substantial improvements in capacity, functionality, speed, and global consistency alongside our 5G rollout, legacy ATG, and existing GEO offerings. The investor presentation we published on our investor relations website this quarter provides more detailed information about these products, the customers, and markets they serve. We continue to see steady progress on shipments, installations, and early activations across both 5G and Gogo Galileo during the quarter. I will also highlight the new fleet commitments we secured this quarter, together with the continued progress with the rollouts we announced last quarter. Both demonstrate the expanding reach and growing adoption of our Gogo Galileo platform. I will then turn to our military and government business, which delivered another record quarter. The current geopolitical backdrop continues to drive sustained demand for secure, reliable airborne connectivity, and our air-to-ground network offerings are uniquely well-positioned to meet that need. Let me begin with the meaningful progress we achieved with Gogo Galileo, our global low Earth orbit, or LEO service, in the second quarter. As a reminder, Gogo Galileo has two products, HDX and FDX. HDX serves as our entry point LEO solution, purpose-built for smaller aircraft, while FDX extends that capability to mid and large cabin aircraft with enhanced connectivity performance. Together, they position Gogo Galileo as a scalable full fleet solution capable of serving the breadth of our customer base globally. This quarter, we shipped 108 units, bringing our cumulative LEO terminal shipped to 518 units, a 17% increase from last quarter. We now have a total of 184 LEO aircraft online, up 66% from the prior quarter. We are encouraged by the acceleration in shipments and growing number of aircraft now operating with our LEO service. The growth in Galileo aircraft online demonstrates our ability to convert shipments into the operational deployment over time, with each installed aircraft generating recurring service revenue. Given recent competitive developments in the market, we believe our three-year secured pricing is resonating with customers who increasingly value predictability alongside operational reliability. Building on this progress, I want to highlight the continued expansion of our Gogo Galileo fleet wins. The rollouts discussed last quarter with VistaJet, Wheels Up, and NetJets continue to progress well, and we added Airshare as a new fleet win this quarter. Airshare is a leading U.S.-based fractional ownership jet card, charter, and aircraft management operator, and is equipping its fleet of Embraer Phenom 300s with Galileo HDX. Notably, Airshare's decision followed a live demonstration flight during which the system transferred more than 16 gigabytes of data within a single hour across 23 connected devices. This further reflects the confidence and leading operators across fractional, charter, and managed fleets continue to place in the Gogo Galileo platform. We also received several notable supplemental type certificates, or STCs, during the quarter for Galileo HDX product, materially expanding its total addressable market. These included FAA STCs for the Gulfstream G650 and G650ER, as well as the FAA European Union Aviation Safety Agency, or EASA, STC for the Falcon 7X and 8X, four of the industry's most popular long-range business jets. In addition, our SD government team also received FAA STC approval to install HDX on the Pilatus PC-12, expanding the market for this product to government, defense, and special mission operators, who can now stream mission-critical data in real time from HD video and imagery to secure communications and live medical information. This exemplifies how we are extending Gogo Galileo into high-value mission profiles previously inaccessible to us. More broadly, these approvals, driven directly by OEMs and their maintenance, repair, and overhaul, or MRO networks, demonstrate growing industry support for Gogo Galileo and support the line fit ramp we expect during the second half of the year. While we have received numerous STCs for Gogo Galileo, there remain several key ones for us to lock in over the next few quarters. In the second quarter, we saw continued momentum across the latest ATG offerings, particularly 5G. 5G unit shipments continue to increase, with 138 units sold in Q2 compared to 52 units sold in Q1. Overall, the transition of our air-to-ground customers to our next-generation products remain on track. We shipped 83 of our C1s and ended the quarter with a record 690 C1 systems online, an increase of 24% from the end of the first quarter. We now have 400 air-to-ground classic customers. Those who have not converted to C1 are upgraded to advanced. We expect a portion of that remaining classic base to deactivate over time, and that assumption is reflected in our guidance. However, the substantial majority of our air-to-ground base now possesses hardware that is ready to migrate to LTE and ultimately 5G. Put simply, much of the conversion risk associated with the transition is behind us. Customers intending to make the transition have largely already done so. We also have 4,603 advanced units online this quarter, a slight decline compared to the same time period last quarter. While reported ATG units online declined more notably in the second quarter, that headline figure was affected by a small number of identifiable factors. These include the NetJets fleet transition previously discussed, along with a group of aircraft that deactivated HEG while upgrading to Galileo or 5G. Adjusting for those factors, the underlying rate of ATG attrition was broadly unchanged from the first quarter. A portion of what appears as an ATG deactivation does not represent customer loss, but rather customer migrating to newer Gogo products, either already reflected in our LEO base or expected to reactivate on our 5G network in the coming quarters. Turning to the SEC reimbursement program, we continue to make strong progress toward the completion deadline of November 8, 2026. The record pace of C1 conversions achieved over the past three quarters gives us confidence that the migration will be completed on schedule. Under the FCC reimbursement program, we've allocated for a significant portion of our full approved amount of more than $300 million to cover the cost of removal and replacement of covered equipment across the U.S. network and ATG aircraft. Reimbursements continue to offset program costs as expected. This transition provides every Classic customer with a clear path to upgrade to a new equipment, and once the EBDO sunset is complete, Gogo will operate the only fully U.S.-based data sovereign ATG network. Turning to our geostationary Earth orbit, or GEO business, GEO aircraft online was unchanged from last quarter and down 1% year over year, continuing the moderating trend observed over the past two quarters. This continues to perform ahead of our expectations. We anticipated that the broader market transition towards next generation LEO and hybrid satellite solutions would moderate activity in our GEO business. Much of this shift reflects the aircraft sales cycle rather than customers actively leaving the platform. Our sales teams continue to engage actively with new owners to capture that business. Given the proven reliability and accessibility of geostationary networks, GEO remains a strategically valuable component of our network net neutral offering, particularly for customers whose mission profiles benefit from the global coverage and who operate where LEO faces regulatory constraints. Our Plain Simple Ku band platform continues to gain traction across both commercial and military end markets. The AirX Challenger 850 upgrade program is progressing well, and our U.S. Air Force Mobility Command approval on the C-130 is opening opportunities across a fleet of more than 1,000 aircraft. I would now like to spend some time on our military and government end market, which delivered another record quarter. Military and government service revenue increased by 40% year over year and 20% sequentially from last quarter. We continue to see strong demand and increased utilization of our existing services driven by the ongoing conflict in the Middle East, where the operational environment is accelerating the need for next-generation communication systems across our global military customer base. This pattern is not new to us. We have experienced similar demand dynamics during previous periods of heightened geopolitical activity and remain well-positioned to respond. Our blanket purchase agreements are already in place, enabling incremental usage converts to revenue as it occurs rather than requiring new procurement cycles. The capacity to serve this demand is already contracted and deployed. In addition, we are exploring alternative uses for both ATG and satellite networks in support of unmanned aerial vehicles from both a technology and customer diversification perspective. While this work remains at an early stage, the progress achieved to date is encouraging, and we believe it may broaden the opportunity set from our military government business over time. While the second quarter represented a particularly active operating environment and may not reflect a normalized run rate going forward, governments around the world continue to make long-term commitments to modernize their secure airborne communications infrastructure, and our contract structure is designed to support those requirements. Our agreements remain in place during quieter periods and scale when demand increases. This is what makes the military and government business so valuable to Gogo. It provides a layer of durable contracted revenue that is less dependent on business aviation cycles and adds stability to our revenue base while our product transformation continues. As our next generation products move towards broader adoption and full contribution, military and government will continue to serve as both a stabilizing influence and an important driver of growth. Before I turn the call over to Zach, I want to highlight a few financial themes that he will discuss in greater detail. First, the ongoing evolution of our product portfolio continues to enhance the resilience and visibility of our revenue base as customers make significant capital investments to install these next-generation products. The transition also diversifies our revenue across multiple connectivity solutions and mission profiles. Second, the continued expansion of our military and government business, which is characterized by longer duration contracts than those typically found in business aviation, is further enhanced with this stickiness as heightened military and government activity continues. Finally, our primary capital allocation priority in the near term remains the continued reduction of our debt. I will now turn the call over to Zach to walk through the Q2 numbers.
Thanks, Chris, and good morning, everyone. Our second quarter performance met our profitability expectations as we continued executing on our strategic priorities in a dynamic operating environment. While we continue to navigate the expected decline in legacy ATG service revenue, demand for secure, high-performance connectivity across both business aviation and military government markets remained healthy. Sequential service revenue growth was driven by continued expansion in our military and government business, accelerating adoption of Galileo on our 5G platform, as well as disciplined operational execution. Together, these strengths helped offset the anticipated pressure in our legacy ATG business. Gogo's total revenue for the quarter was $222.8 million, down 1% compared to Q2 2025 and 2% compared to Q1 2026. Service revenue totaled $191.3 million, down 1% year-over-year and up 2% sequentially. Military and government service revenue increased 40% compared to Q2 2025 and 20% sequentially, reflecting high demand and increased usage of related services. This performance continues to validate our strategy of diversifying the business beyond traditional business aviation connectivity while expanding our exposure to mission-critical government communications. Equipment revenue totaled $31.5 million, down 2% year-over-year and 18% sequentially, due to the decline in advance and C1 shipments. This was partially offset by the strong adoption of our next-generation products. During the quarter, Galileo equipment shipments increased 17% sequentially to 108 units, bringing cumulative Galileo shipments to 518. We also sold 138 Gogo 5G units compared to 52, up 165% from the first quarter, reflecting continued adoption of our 5G-ready advanced LX5 platform. Turning to our aircraft online metrics, total ATG aircraft online ended the quarter at 5,731, down 15% year-over-year and 6% sequentially, consistent with the customer transitions from our legacy ATG platform and the expected deactivation discussed in the prior quarter. Galileo aircraft online increased 66% sequentially to 184 aircraft, reflecting continued customer adoption as additional supplemental type certificates come online. Broadband GEO aircraft online remained stable at 1,306. Turning to profitability, our results continue to reflect the ongoing evolution of our business mix. Growth in military and government revenue helped offset the expected decline in legacy ATG service revenue, while equipment revenue normalized following the exceptionally strong first quarter. Below gross profit, we continue to exercise disciplined expense management, which helped support profitability during the quarter. Gross margin for the quarter was 42% compared to 41% in the first quarter. Moving to our bottom line, the net loss for the quarter was negative $2 million compared to $12.8 million in the second quarter of 2025 and $13.1 million in the first quarter of 2026. In the second quarter, results reflected a $7.2 million cash, non-cash increase in the fair value of the Satcom Direct earnout liability. Adjusted EBITDA was $53.7 million, down 13% compared to Q2 2025 and up 1% sequentially. Strong Q2 EBITDA reflects disciplined operating execution, partially offset by lower equipment revenue following a strong first quarter. Adjusted EBITDA for the quarter also includes $3.2 million of ongoing litigation expense compared to $6.1 million in the first quarter. Turning to capital allocation, reducing leverage remains our highest priority. In April, we made a $21.1 million principal payment on our HPS term loan facility through the excess cash flow sweep mechanism. We also funded the previously announced $40 million Satcom Direct earnout payment while continuing to prioritize debt reduction and balance sheet flexibility. Our net leverage ratio for the quarter end was 3.8 times, increasing due to the Satcom earnout I just mentioned. While we expect leverage to fluctuate modestly over the balance of the year, we remain committed to reducing leverage over time and continue to view debt reduction as our highest capital allocation priority, targeting 2.5 to 3.5 times. Turning to free cash flow on the balance sheet, net cash provided by operating activities totaled $32.3 million, compared to negative $7.2 million in the first quarter. Free cash flow was $21.6 million compared to negative $19.2 million in the prior quarter, reflecting improved working capital performance and stronger operating cash generation. We ended the quarter with $63.1 million in cash and cash equivalents after funding both the SATCOM Direct earnout and our debt repayment. In our earnings release this morning, we revised our full-year 2026 financial guidance. We now project total revenue in the range of $870 to $895 million, with approximately 84% generated from service revenue and 16% from equipment revenue. This revision is driven primarily by the timing of Galileo and 5G equipment shipments in the second half. Our full-year service revenue expectation is essentially unchanged, as the GEO and MilGov revenue lines are mitigating softness in the ATG service revenue. We now expect adjusted EBITDA in the range of $175 to $185 million, including approximately $5 million of strategic investments and $22 million of ongoing litigation expense. Higher litigation expense accounts for roughly half of the change, with the remainder reflecting product mix within service revenue. We continue to expect net capital expenditures of approximately $20 million, assuming $45 million in FCC reimbursement. Finally, we have revised our free cash flow expectations for the year and is now expected to be in the range of $65 to $85 million. This change primarily reflects the revised adjusted EBITDA outlook, as our capital spending plans are unchanged. Our guidance continues to include $30 million slated for strategic investments net of any FCC reimbursements. Overall, our second quarter results reflect our ongoing focus on execution as we advance Gogo's transformation into a global multi-network connectivity platform. We are successfully managing the transition of our legacy ATG business while continuing to build momentum across Galileo, our sovereign 5G network, and our military and government revenue. At the same time, we remain disciplined in how we allocate capital, strengthening our balance sheet while investing in products and capabilities. We believe this balanced approach positioned us well to deliver increasing shareholder value over time. I also want to thank the entire Gogo team for their continued hard work and commitment to serving our customers as we execute on this transformation. Operator, this concludes our prepared remarks. Please open the line for questions.
Thank you, Zach. At this time, we will conduct a Q&A session. As a reminder, to ask a question, you need to press star 11 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. To withdraw your question, please press star 11 again. To keep the queue moving efficiently, we ask that you only present one question and, if needed, one follow-up. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster. Our first question will be from the line of Scott Searle with Roth Capital Partners. Scott, your line is open.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking the questions. Hey, I'm not sure if I heard on the call, but just wanted a quick update in terms of the outlook for Galileo units to be AOL by the end of this year. I think the number previously was 600, and I think in the past as well you talked about a pipeline of 500 plus aircraft for 5G. Wonder if you could just update on that front. And then Chris, you know, just a little bit more color on the MilGov opportunity. It's nice to see it starting to expand. I'm wondering if you could address a little bit about where you think that could be as we get into 27 in terms of absolute dollars and percentage of the mix. And it seems like a lot of it now is being driven by utilization as opposed to new aircraft coming online. I'm wondering what the opportunities and thoughts are in terms of incremental AOL.
In near term, high demand and increased usage has been obviously driven by the Middle East. However, longer term, governments are modernizing their secure airborne communications. We think that's opportunities global. It's not just MOD in the UK or DOD in the US. We see that as a global opportunity. What we've said on previous calls as well is, I think what's nice about the Galileo product is we're taking in a commercial-based product and we're putting that into the military. So, you know, we can get to different cost structures, which these guys are not used to. We've already started seeing good opportunities, which we've mentioned before in the past, and we're closing out new business, which is great. And then we do think, and it's early days, but we're starting to see good traction around the UAV market, which obviously expands the TAM quite significantly for the government opportunity. But most of these fleets are definitely unmodernized, so we see this as a good growth vector for the business. In terms of percentages, we think that will grow into the mix. It's too early to say at this point on what that will be, but we're extremely encouraged and enthusiastic about the market.
Yeah. Hey, morning, Scott. And then I think the other point you had was just on the Galileo units online. So the model assumes kind of at the high end, we're in the mid-500s for total Galileo.
Great. Thank you. And if I could, for a follow-up, Zach, I just wanted to get my hands around normalized OpEx going forward. A lot of the increase in the second half here seems like it's related to litigation, which I think is $14 million above your prior expectations. I'm wondering how you see that rolling out over the course of 26. Does it extend into 27? And I'm assuming this is related to Smart Sky. But what would be the peak non-GAAP OpEx in 26 on a quarterly basis? And what will that look like as we start to pull some of that litigation out into 27? Thanks.
Yeah, so I think – Scott, we as we talked before, we look at it like sort of the normalized run rate is kind of in the mid to high 40s, obviously excluding D&A. You'll see, you know, sales and marketing should be flat. There will be a little bit of a pop in engineering because of some milestone payments that got pushed from Q2. And then obviously in the G&A side, you know, that is the litigation expense associated with Smart Sky.
Great, thanks. I'll hop back in the queue.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Scott. Our next question is with Justin Lang from Morgan Stanley. Justin, your line is open.
Hi. good morning. Thanks for taking the questions. Zach, I just wanted to start with you. Maybe you could put a finer point on sort of the drivers of the updated guidance. You called out lower equipment sales expectations and some service product mix headwinds, but maybe you could just unpack those a little bit further and a little more color on what changed since last quarter on those fronts. Thanks.
Yeah, so when we look at the latest guide, obviously the single biggest driver is the equipment revenue, which again is you know, assumed at almost break-even margins. And Chris can kind of get into some of the drivers on a little bit of the slow shipments, but even though we do expect it to accelerate in the second half, I think the really positive note is we've said service revenue is still pretty consistent with our prior views, and this goes back to having the balanced portfolio, because even though ATG was worse than expected and some of the LEOs didn't come online as soon as we anticipated, the MilGov and GEO side of the house completely offset that. So we're at least, you know, pleased that we're able to keep service revenue pretty static despite some of the pressures on the shipment side.
Yeah, I would just add as well, we've still got 20 STCs outstanding with the FDX, which is the larger product within the Galileo portfolio, particularly around the mid to large airframe. So they're coming on a little bit slower than we would anticipate. That's really down to just the FAA backlog and then those guys taking time. The other piece as well, we've got positive momentum with the OEMs. We've got all OEMs now locked into contracts, which is great, but that process of putting Galileo into the OEM process at the factory also takes time. So we see a good ramp in the second half, but those are really the two factors which are kind of slowing down some of the product into the market on the OEM side, and also the STC rollout as well.
Got it. That makes sense. And then maybe just one more. You know, appreciate, obviously, the ongoing transition around ATG. Curious if you could just update us on how many ATG aircraft you expect to sort of net roll off this year, if there are any new dynamics to call out there. And then related, I guess, related question on GEO AOL, which is sort of held up. Do you expect that to, you know, hold through the year, or does that start to taper in the back half? Thanks.
Hey, Justin. Regarding the, I guess we could first take the GEO piece, and let me back up and make sure I got the other one. On the GEO side, you know, it's interesting because we've actually found the performance to be improving on GEO as a lot of these operators are investing in incremental capacity. So people have been, you know, sticking around longer, and actually we've sold over 50 GEO units in the first, or almost 50 GEO units in the first half of the year, which we typically hadn't talked about because it's a you know, small number. But I think it's important to say, you know, the GEO guys are kind of coming back. And then I think from a units online standpoint, we still expect to lose a little bit, not a massive number. And I think the other part of this is, as we've said in prior quarters, the biggest driver of that is still aircraft sales. It's not as much people just turning it off.
Yeah, I would add one other point as well. It actually goes to the earlier question with the Galileo STCs and the importance of the OEM line fit. All of our Galileo products, where applicable on the mid to large range aircraft, are all line fit within the OEM. So those aircraft are also already specified with the product. So we're still seeing that pull through, and we're still seeing customers from a global point of view because of obviously the global capability of GEO as well, still taking the product from us. And we obviously are the number one provider of GEO services in business aviation. So that kind of helps us out as well with those numbers.
Great. Maybe on ATG, Zach?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that was the first one. Yeah, so ATG, because of the trend we saw in Q2, the estimated total units online, we're saying about 1,200, and that's total including 5G. I will turn it around a little bit on a couple other points that I think Chris hit in a script. We were pleased to see, you know, albeit a small number, we saw more kind of upgrades to our new products, 5G and Galileo. So if you take what was the NetJets piece, which again, we didn't have the full deactivation plan from them, so we were kind of flying blind on exactly when those are going to roll off. But if you take out NetJets and the upgrades, we were pretty flat from Q1 on the deact rates.
Got it. Thanks for the color.
Thanks, Justin.
Thank you, Justin. At this time, I'd ask if there are any additional questions, and if so, to please press *11 so we can ensure that you are in the queue. I'll give it just a moment. It looks like Justin Ling, did you have another question? And if so, I'll open your line.
Yeah, thanks. I'll sneak one more in. Just Chris, on the MilGov front, you know, we've talked in the past about the drone opportunity, and that market really seems to be gaining momentum. Curious if we could talk a little bit about that and how far along you are there, and if there are any milestones to watch on that front. Thanks.
Yeah, at the moment we are looking at drone projects, and we actually do drone projects around GEO today, so it is a market we're already in. So we're expanding that for two product lines, really, which is Galileo, and with the FCC upgrade rip and replace program, obviously that makes the LTE and 5G network very applicable for the US government. So we do believe we can get a lot of traction there. We are doing some product development and proof of concepts at the moment. I can't talk about it beyond that, but we think it's pretty exciting. I think the other thing is, as well, we are a main contract holder on Golden Dome. So I think as those things play out for both the U.S. market and overseas market, we think that's got a really good opportunity. Obviously, the TAM as well in drones is significant. So we think that that's a great market expansion for us within the government sector.
Got it. Thanks for indulging me for one more. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you for the question again, Justin. At this time, I'm showing no other individuals in the queue, so I would like to turn it back over to Chris for closing remarks.
Yeah, we'd just like to thank everybody for their comments today and listening to our call, and I'd say thank you. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you for your participation today in today's conference. This does conclude our program. You may now disconnect.